Welcome to episode 5 of Role, Play, Grow, the podcast for tabletop RPG entrepreneurs, creators, and fans. I'm Courtney Stover of Lighthearted Adventures, and in this podcast, we talk to the creators behind the brands in the tabletop roleplay gaming space about who they are and how they are turning their passion for gaming into a career. Today's episode is going to look a little different. I mentioned back in episode 0 that I would be bringing Brenton on to chat with me at some point to talk about Lighthearted Adventures. And so today we are going to take a look at a lot of the lessons that we've learned over the last year of trying to run a small two-person business in this space. I will say that interviewing your spouse and business partner is a bit of an amusing time when you know most of the answers. So it definitely turned into a bit more of a discussion as we went on. Some of the topics that we go into are why our first DMs Guild publications pretty much bombed and what we are doing differently now, tactics that Brenton's using to get past his dislike of social media, the value of growing your email list and kind of what we're doing for marketing lately, and blogging with consistency. Before we dive in, I want to make sure that you know about Found Familiar Coffee. If you are a coffee drinker, I highly suggest that you check out their delicious D&D themed coffee that tastes exceptional and supports some really awesome artists in the community. My favorite is Inspiration, but honestly, I've tried pretty much every flavor and I really do like them all a lot. I've kind of been spoiled off of other coffees ever since. It's pretty great. If you go to foundfamiliar.com and use code LIGHTHEARTADV, you will get 10% off your order, enjoy some delicious coffee, and help support this fledgling show. All right, I hope that you enjoy this episode with Brenton and the look behind the curtain of what we are doing at Lightheart Adventures. Okay, hello Brenton, how are you doing today?
Hello Courtney, I'm doing well.
This is going to be a really interesting episode. I don't even know how much I'm going to wind up interjecting. We'll find out.
I figured it would just be you and I talking kind of like over top of each other.
You know, like a normal everyday kind of conversation that we have.
Normal married couple. Yeah.
Well, Brenton, can you start by telling everybody about who you are and how you got started gaming?
Hello, everyone. My name is Brenton. I have been a longtime gamer, though only recently I've really gotten into the tabletop role-playing scene. I guess it all kind of started when I would sit on my parents' laps as they would play the old board game Hero Quest with my sister, and I loved playing the monsters, even though I didn't understand the rules. I would pick whatever cool monster my parents had painted at the time, and I'd follow behind them, and they'd be like, okay, sure, whatever. But from there, kind of got really into video games. That was my big thing growing up. But every so often, I'd dabble a little bit into role-playing games. Like a friend in school played once or twice in middle school, once or twice in college, but really didn't pick up until only a few years ago.
What happened a few years ago?
Well, first, I guess we can back up and say that I got you into tabletop miniatures where we played Malifaux, the tabletop miniature game Skirmishes. It's fun. We love it. A number of years ago, the company Weird released a Kickstarter for Malifaux Through the Breach, which was a tabletop RPG version of the main game. And so I had been kind of, you know, was interested in role-playing games, and I figured, oh, this might be a good way to get Courtney involved. So backed it. It came in, and I think that's kind of how we got started as far as role-playing was involved. Played that, and then over the years since then, I'd pick up a book or two of D&D. Didn't have anybody to really play with. The friends group that we kind of rallied around, they wouldn't play as often as we'd liked, or they were just into different games. But then I started listening to Critical Role, and that really jump-started my passion for playing D&D and doing more tabletop stuff.
Okay, so what are you playing these days?
Well, I am in the middle of running our D&D game with, gosh, like 7 people. and it's quite the crew. And I definitely love all everyone's characters that they play, especially yours, your munchkin tabaxi pirate. It's always fun trying to be like, all right, come on, Salty, let's get you into this new interesting situation. You're like, but I'm a pirate and I want to steal stuff. But I'm not playing too much as a player, or at least when I do, it's always for like one shots. But this last Halloween, you ran us through a Halloween themed, and I really enjoyed playing the character of the Professor, a Fire Ganassi artificer, and his mechanical companion, Igor.
It was quite amusing. And then one of our other friends that joined in was based her warlock character off of Winifred.
Yeah,
it was so much fun. You guys were obnoxious.
Oh, yeah. I knew it was going to be for just a one shot, but it was one of those, like, I'm pretty sure if we wound up playing more games as those characters, those two would probably wind up killing each other.
Honestly, I'm tempted to do another one just to keep watching you guys get mad at each other. And, like, you destroyed her focus. She almost got you killed. You thought it was great.
She literally tried to have me killed, like, as a prank. And it was like, you mad, bro? It was when I survived.
It's a good time. What about the other games we're trying out?
Well, I got a handful of new tabletop RPGs for Christmas, and I'm really looking forward to giving them a shot. Things like Zweihander, the Grim and Perilous setting. Just finished reading that book just a few days ago, and it's, what, almost 700 pages, and it was hefty. But there's that. We're going to try out the Star Wars Age of Rebellion game from Fantasy Flight Games. And lastly, there's the Witcher RPG, which I think you've got your eye on.
Yes, I do. I called dibs on DMing that one first. So I happen to know that you kind of got started more on the art side than the writing adventure side. So what was like your background with art?
Well, starting in elementary school, I would draw and doodle and stuff. And I remember very vividly making like these weird trap rooms, just be like, oh, if someone walks into here, there's these saw blades, and kind of my formative dungeon master waiting to get out.
Oh, so you're a sadistic child. Okay.
I was, though fortunately it was completely imaginary, and I'd have these little lemming like creatures like, oh, they're going through, and little hero things. But I went to school and got a degree in game art and design. So I was able to draw quite a bit in, all through school, through college, and out of college, unfortunately, a lot of the job opportunities I was looking forward didn't quite pan out. So I kind of dropped off the art for a little while. And I would just do things here and there for friends and family or just for my own entertainment. And then it was around about the time when I started getting back into RPGs that I was like, you know what? I really like drawing maps, drawing these little dungeons. It's almost kind of like the creating ships in a bottle. It's like these little microcosms of very specific terrain of like, okay, here's this little dungeon that's got moss growing out of the corners. There's this room that's full of treasure. There's this other room that's got, there's a monster lives in there. What kind of monster lives there? And it's just kind of fun, almost like little brain exercises to draw these maps.
You've been drawing maps for, 2 years now?
Yeah, something about that.
Can you kind of talk through the progression of what it was like when you started, and then once you started to kind of take it more seriously, and walk us through that journey to where you are now?
Yeah, it was originally I had started out drawing strictly pen and paper. There was a couple artists that I followed online that I drew really big inspiration from, but I loved the pure black and white with some slight grading, shading style of like, say, Dyson Logos or like some of the older D&D modules that would be printed on page, and you'd just be like, oh man, your kind of imagination fills in the blank. So I love that kind of artwork, and that's how I started. And I had a whole bunch of pens that I would work out, and for some reason I was convinced that I had to draw everything fresh. I didn't want to sketch anything out because I didn't want to mar the paper with erasers and pens or pencil marks. So I'd try and draw things as fastidiously as possible. But turns out that takes forever. And if you mess up anywhere, it's really kind of hard to hide it. So things got a little bit looser as time went on until eventually I realized that it was easier for me to make the same quality level of maps digitally as it was with pen and ink. And so I started to gradually switch over from doing things wholly pen and pencil to like a pen and pencil digital mix until where I'm at now, where it's almost entirely digital.
So what tools are you using to do this digital map?
Almost entirely Photoshop. I've been using Photoshop since I was in college, and I'm pretty well versed in it. I know I wouldn't consider myself a master by any means, but I know things of, you know, the tricks to make certain stuff look a lot more professional than if I was doing it just like by hand.
And what about your tablet?
I'm actually right now using a Wacom One tablet that I got as a birthday gift from your very, very, very generous parent. Before that, I'd been using just a regular, I think like a Wacom Bamboo, just a hard surface, no screen. All of a sudden, I get this upgrade to a Wacom One, and I hadn't used a digital pad like that since college. That was a fun little upgrade.
Okay, so we kind of talked about your progression of drawing maps and how you started off with pen and paper and then pencil, pen and paper. And then there was a time of digital cleanup as part of that transition, though, right?
Yeah, there was the time when I was doing kind of like a half and half where I'd draw things in pen and paper and then scan it. And then that's when I'd kind of go back and clean stuff up. But I realized that was a really tedious process that I wasn't quite satisfied with the end results. Like it looked good, but you probably know that I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to art type stuff.
Nah.
I mean, multiple times. And I just wasn't quite happy with the end result of the scanning. And so that's when I was able to, when I was like, all right, I'm going to draw this when I switched to digital, then I could make it look a lot better, at least to my eye.
What was the transition point from you just doing your homebrew adventures and maps to turning it into a business?
Well, I want to say Christmas of 2018, I decided that for a gift for your family, I was going to run you, your mom, and your dad through a homebrew D&D one-shot. Because your dad had played D&D back in the day, and your mom grew up not playing D&D at all. So I thought it'd be a unique Christmas present to give to them. And so I spent, you know, a couple weeks coming up with like a backstory, which was turned out to be Siege of St. Isolde. Wound up writing that out, and we played that Christmas Day. And kind of after that point, we were talking with some of our friends who were talking about like Dungeon DM's Guild, which I was familiar with, but I wasn't, like, I knew about, but it wasn't something that I used very often. And then they mentioned that it's like, oh yeah, people sell their stuff on DM's Guild all the time. And I think that was the push that I needed. I'm like, okay, I can actually kind of make this work. From that point, it was all about tidying up the plot, the details, the encounters, drawing a fully fledged map for that and getting it play tested and finally releasing it, though it definitely took a little bit longer than I think it probably should have, or at least now it definitely takes me a lot less time to release a new publication. But I think we started that in January and it didn't get published until like end of August.
Yeah. So you had that publication, and then we also did a few other publications at the same time because mm-hmm. we were thinking that it would make sense that like, oh, if we have one thing published, then it would be nice to have a bunch of other things so that people could see what else we've done.
Yeah.
So what were the other items that we first published in that grouping of things?
Did a couple map packs that were mostly setting and story agnostic that you could, if you had an idea or something that you wanted to play out, but you needed a map, it's like, okay, there's an Elvish Ruins or a Hag's Lair that was set underground, or like, I think a Catacombs that was a pretty simplistic little walkthrough of a underground area where that was full of undead and other spooky things.
Let's actually talk about that because, hey, this is a business podcast. So we released, I think, 5 publications at the same time. And for all of your map packs, we included a free version as well as a paid version. It was a lot to release all at once. And I would say that we went through, we just did everything wrong. I think everything just bombed. So I would like to get some of your perspective on what you think we did wrong about all of those publications.
Well, as you know, they say hindsight's 20/20.
Oh, God, don't ever say that again. We can't, not after last year.
Yeah, I apologize. Anyways, there was definitely some things that we could have done differently that would have helped us make a bit more of a name for ourselves, which that we released that right at the start when we were getting out with like social media, like our Instagram was still kind of pretty new at that point in time. So we really didn't have much of a following. And so it wasn't an easy situation to advertise that, hey, there's this map packet out plus this campaign. And so it was one of those, another drop in the bucket in the main page of DM's Guild. And so that didn't really quite help. Another thing too, is that when we did advertise it on the Instagram, we did this thing where we did like a secretive countdown to when it was coming out and, you know, to try and raise hype. And it's like, oh, Lightheart Adventures, something's coming. But we didn't actually tell people what it was. And so it was building up hype, but not building up recognition of what it was that we were actually going to sell. So it's one thing if we've got like thousands of subscribers or millions of followers or whatever, and it's like, okay, let's get hyped, guys. When we only have like 200 people following us, they kind of want to know what it is we're selling right away rather than just like, all right, they posted another page of a countdown. All right, that's great.
Yeah, like we were trying. Like, I will give us credit for that. Like, I think it was a, you know, okay, there are so many other publications out there, so let's just try to build up some sort of like, oh, something's coming. I wonder what it's going to be. But I think moving forward, we might do a little teaser of, oh, there's an announcement coming on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But even if we do that, I think it makes more sense to announce that a product is coming before it's actually released.
Well in advance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think our other big thing was that we released everything all at once. And so all of a sudden it's like, okay, there's a lot of material here, but there's no anticipation of anything new coming out. And it's unfortunately it took us a while before we released anything new on DM's Guild. So there was a huge swath of time where people bought our stuff and was like, oh, that's it. Okay, then. And we kind of lost, I wouldn't say lost followers, but lost interest since that point.
Definitely something I've learned from observation of other DM's creators is just the idea that if they're constantly out there publishing things, you know, even if it, like, it doesn't have to be every week, but even just every other month or something, just this consistency, no matter what it is, consistency is key in everything that you do if you are trying to run your own business.
Exactly. So that's why I try, you know, at the very least update some, post some maps or whatever I'm working on at least once or twice a week. A little bit harder on DM skill, but as you said, if we can get to the point where we're releasing something like maybe once a month, that would be key.
And I'd say that is one of our goals for this year, is mm-hmm. doing a lot more publications. So
yeah, lots of ideas,
which is good. Okay, so, you know, those are some kind of lessons learned on DM skills, and then we just kind of got frustrated and stopped trying to do anything for it for a really long time. And we're like, okay, let's pursue some other business avenues. So what kinds of things have we done since then?
Well, we kind of learned a little bit and decided that we'd start up a website, which acts as a bit of a portfolio, as well as a spot where we can, you know, advertise the maps, doing the blog stuff. But the big thing is, yeah, that our website.
Yeah, all those publications came out, I think, at the beginning of September. And then I remember it was, I want to say the week between Christmas and New Year's, where I was just like, screw it. And I figured out how to build a website for like a solid week. And, yeah, you know, I will say that it is definitely looking much better now than it did. But at that point, I was like, nope, just done is better than perfect.
Yeah. No, it was definitely an ordeal, and I'm super grateful for you because I am an artist. I am not a web designer. Not to say that the one can't be one and the same, but that's just not where my skill set lies.
I mean, that's real. I'm also not a web designer. I do not know HTML, but you know, there are all sorts of really cool builders now, and it's great. Yeah. But honestly, I think that that's why we work together so well, is that you're the one making all of these really creative and beautiful things, and you've got such a fascinating mind, and you always have new ideas for adventures. And then it works as a partnership because you get to do that stuff. And then I just really enjoy getting things organized and thinking through strategy. And I'd say that having two of us just makes it so much easier to run a small business than, you know, people that only have themselves. And I mean, I admire them so much. It's so much work.
Oh yeah. No, there's no way I would have been able to accomplish this on my own. I'd probably be maybe a handful of maps or stuff on DM skill, but that's probably it.
Yeah, I do push you a lot.
And you know, and you keep me grounded because there'll be times I'll come up with an idea of like, what about a Treant bathroom map? And you're like, people aren't going to want that. I'm like, okay, maybe not that, but something else. So no, you keep me grounded and working on like more viable stuff, which is what we really need.
Let's talk about blogging. You know, we launched the website and we're like, okay, we're also going to do this blog at the same time. And you have been the one to do 99% of the blog posts. So what have you learned about running a blog and publishing a new post every week over the last year?
It has definitely been a learning experience. I, you know, had creative writing classes in school and stuff. But I never really considered myself a writer up until the time I was like, all right, start talking about stuff. And it was definitely quite the jump to move from, okay, well, I need to, you know, I'm going to work on an encounter this week. It's like, all right, it's going to be, you know, set in this druid prison underneath a glade and just kind of writing out a textbook of how to, you know, get through this encounter. And I couldn't quite do that every week, otherwise I wouldn't get anything done. And so it was more switching gears to, okay, well, what topics do I want to talk about this week that, you know, interests me, or something new came out and I got to review it. And so I've learned more about writing and trying to impress upon people like, all right, here's the ideas that are in my head and that are trying to get that in a way that is interesting and not just wild rambling. So it's, you know, I've learned a lot about doing things like SEO, which I'm still learning about, but, you know, learning things about being critical without being judgmental. Like I did a post recently about the Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. As much as I'd love to gush about, I'm like, oh man, it's the new D&D book. I'm so excited. I'm like, no, I'm going to step back. I'm going to, you know, talk about the things that, okay, I liked these things from a critical standpoint. These other things weren't as valuable to me, though maybe to others. And, you know, just kind of be more mindful of what I'm writing in like the blog posts.
So let's talk a little bit about the SEO and what it is that you say we've learned about that. What's still a struggle? What are the tactics that you use to figure out what your keywords are going to be every week?
Well, I still don't know a whole lot. I've definitely gotten some inspiration from some of your recent interviews that have said, you know, like, oh, we need this. I'm like, I'm going to look into that. But as far as doing the research, a lot of it is I will try and get up. I have a list of ideas on my desktop. I'm like, okay, here are the topics that I want to talk about that are interesting to me. And then what I'll do is I'll go through and, you know, I'll just even go on to like Google search and just come up with SEO titles for those ideas and see what comes up for those. Like, so if something's like, oh, if I type in Ent bathroom map, I don't know why my mind keeps going back to that, but I'm going to make it happen.
I have some questions. I'm a little concerned.
Yeah. And I'll, you know, type that in or different permutations of that. I'm like, okay, the most recent SEO or the most recent website is like, oh, it's from 2017. Chances are I can try and get a little bit of a headway with that. But I do that for just about every week, try and come up with different titles. Though there have definitely been times when you've been like, no, you need to change that. I'm like, okay.
I mean, yeah, I think that's the biggest struggle is balancing what you want to talk about because you think it's interesting or you think it'd be fun and cool versus, okay, what are people actually going to type into a Google search bar? Because that's really the importance of having like SEO and that keyword. And like the best example I can think of on why it really does matter is that I recently realized that 95% of our site traffic is coming from one blog post, and it's because of the keyword. It's one of your earlier side quests. The keyword is, I think, a free D&D one shot. And 95% of our traffic is because of that one post.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. And it's like it's from months ago, too. Like, I think it was before you'd even changed up your map style.
Yeah, no, that's the other thing. It's like, oh, I you pointed that out the other day. I'm like, oh, I want to go back and redraw that map. Oh, that, oh, man.
But that's the thing about we can. Like, honestly, I'd say my plan is now that I've realized that is to go back through and because it was even before I did the website redesign. So the formatting doesn't match how we're doing the new side quests. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, I'm eventually going to go back and make sure every post matches. But it's a lot of posts. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of posts, especially when we've got, you know, trying to balance, you know, writing up new posts among the other stuff that we're involved with. It's one of those, all right, I'm going to sit down this day, this weekend, we're going to do it. Chain me to my chair. I'll do it.
Yeah. But what I think is a good kind of tactic too, is to take it and look at those posts that are getting the most traffic and evaluating them and then going back and improving them because there's nothing saying that you can't improve things over time. And if you've got posts that no one's ever looking at, I mean, don't waste your time on it. Mm-hmm. But the ones that are ranking in that top 10, even if there is like a huge disparity between number one and number three, it's worth going in because those are your top pages, it's your top posts, and just editing them, you know, making sure that they're as good as they can be, that you've got a lot of internal links trying to lead people to your other pages. Because, yeah, like bounce rate is a huge thing as well. And the longer that you can get people looking at your site, the better chance you have that they might subscribe to your email list or, you know, come back and be interested in seeing what else you post or what you're selling.
Yeah, not only that, but I've, you know, learned so much as a dungeon master, game master in the years that I see some of these old posts and like, I think I could add a couple extra paragraphs here and just more information, which sure, probably wouldn't do it for the, as you mentioned, the less frequented pages, but some of them would definitely be worthwhile.
Yeah. It's Crystal Caverns, man. That's what everyone's looking at.
People can't get enough of those Crystal Caverns.
Ooh, maybe you should do a sequel.
I should. I don't even remember what the plot of that Crystal Caverns things was.
Okay, so let's talk social media and the struggles and observations that we've had with that.
Yes. Okay. Real talk, I am not a very social person. I may sound like it, but I begrudgingly signed up for a Twitter account. I want to say what? It was last year? That I don't even have a personal Twitter. I didn't have Instagram before Lighthearted Adventures, and I barely touched Facebook. And so that was definitely a hurdle of mine to try and get the mental capacity to be more social online.
What do you think the block is for you?
It's just I don't have an easy time talking with other people, especially strangers. So it's one of those. Like someone will post something online on Twitter and be like, oh, look at this cool thing. And I want to be like, ah, man, that's awesome. Blah, 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 blah. But then I always second guess myself. I'm like, no, that's not original or oh, they don't want to hear from me. And so I have to constantly check myself like, no, I'm giving a compliment or I'm introducing this new thing or whatever. my voice is valid, and as long as I'm contributing positively, then I think it's worthwhile. But there are definitely times when I'm like, there's so much social interacting I have to do.
Well, you know, when it's conversations like that, it's just, you know, saying that you admire something that someone else has put out there. Mm-hmm. Just think about how you would feel getting that compliment.
That's true. I do like compliments.
So even if it's just the same thing that you're posting on other ones, and like, hey, this looks really good, doesn't matter. It's still nice to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's something I'm still working on, is trying to introduce myself into the different role-playing communities. Because while I focus a lot on Dungeons & Dragons, we do a lot of other things as well, like Malifaux was mentioned, and I really like the recent second edition of Warhammer Wrath and Glory. Love that game. And so I'm trying to get more into those communities, like, hey guys, look at my maps and look at my adventures and stuff, without being too ingratiating or annoying. And that's another thing I worry about. I'm like, no, it's like, I've got something cool people might like to see. I should definitely tell them, otherwise they're not going to find it on their own.
I mean, that's true. If you don't put yourself out there, no one will ever see your art.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think that's something that a lot of artists struggle with too, is just, you'd rather be sitting there making the art and doing what you enjoy and having to actually put it out there and do that interaction and put the work into making yourself visible. Like, I get it. It's not fun.
Yeah. And then there's the whole monkey brain simulation of like, oh, clicks good, likes good. And then you know, that fear of, oh, well, I just spent however many hours working on this piece, but what if I post it online and nobody likes it? It's like, no, it's, you got to get it out there.
Yeah, for sure. At this point, I guess I want to talk about some other marketing strategies that we do that I realize would probably be more that I have to talk and not asking you about it, since I'm the one that does it.
I'll just interject from here and there, like, oh, interesting. Do go on.
Perfect. Yeah, so I'd say the other thing that I have really been trying to focus on recently is the email list. Like, there's so many algorithms that you have to take into consideration with all of the various social media platforms that, you know, you can have a huge following, you can get a ton of interaction, and then there's an algorithm update and suddenly it's like no one sees any of your stuff. And we experienced that recently with Instagram,
yeah,
where, you know, we were getting a really good interaction, like every day we were getting, you know, between 100 and 200 likes on most of our posts. And then like one day it just stopped and it was like 30 to 40. And so then we had to finally accept that we needed to start doing stories. And so that helped, you know, or like maybe we switch up our hashtags. Mm-hmm. And recently we've realized it's because Instagram is hiding you if you aren't doing reels, which you're drawing maps on like a digital tablet.
Yeah, I'm not using Procreate, which allows you to take, you know, instant time-lapse videos of whatever you're doing. I have to do some technical gymnastics to get a reel of what I'm drawing in Photoshop. And yeah, it's like, okay, I can post it, but it's not getting quite the same reach as it was when we first started, because stuff changes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So social media, like it's great. Like it is a way to get yourself out there and get yourself known, but the algorithms are always changing. And so what I found is that the email list is so much more dependable. So kind of some tactics I'd say that we're doing for that is that we've got a freebie on our website. And there's also, we've occasionally posted just a link to sign up for the freebie outside of having to go to the website. But for the most part, if you go to lightheartadventures.com, there's a pop-up that appears after a couple seconds and asks whether you want a free D&D one-shot. And, you know, it's just an adventure that Britton made that is exclusive just to email subscribers. And so when people say yes and they opt into it, they get this one-shot emailed to them, and then they're on our list. And while getting an actual click-through rate is something that I would not say I'm an expert at, I'm still trying to figure out, it's helpful to have that list, because then, you know, you can send out an email every time that there's a new blog post or a new podcast episode
or publication, the things like that.
Yeah, announcements. Like it's really important, because regardless of how the algorithms are on the other platforms, these are people that at least actively did, you know, it takes a little more effort to type in your email address than it does to click a follow button. Mm-hmm. So they were interested enough to get one thing, so they might stick around. And sure, you're going to lose people. You're going to lose subscribers that don't actually like the content you're putting out, or all they wanted was that freebie and they never want to hear from you again. And that's fine. But I've just realized it's a really good platform and it's really important to kind of keep growing that.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, no, I completely agree. It's probably one of the most steady ways of us being able to reach people beyond social media.
In case anyone's wondering what platform we use, we use something that's actually called Flowdesk. I was using MailChimp for a little while, but I didn't like the fact that the free version didn't let you actually schedule the emails in advance. And I also realized that MailChimp does not allow you to include affiliate marketing links in the emails, which, you know, occasionally I want to send out something like, oh, Christmas is coming up. Here's some gift ideas from some of our favorite companies that we're affiliates with. And want to have that in the emails, but MailChimp doesn't let you. So I found one that's called Flowdesk that I do have to pay a monthly fee, but it's not that bad. But it's really, really nice because there's all of these templates that I can grab from that look really, really pretty and just really professionally made. They've even got sample copy if you're struggling to figure out how you're going to word that there's a new announcement coming. And then my favorite feature is they've got this workflow. So if someone opts in via the Do You Want a Free D&D One Shot, then it automatically sends it to them and it automatically subscribes them to a specific workflow that I've built for that opt-in. Eventually, we're going to add some other opt-ins. And so those might have different workflows as well. But it's basically, it says regardless of what day they sign up, they get the first email. And then 24 hours, they get a welcome email with just a little bit of an about us saying like who we are, what our website is, why we hope they'll stick around. And then it's the next Monday, they'll get kind of a check-in email just like, oh, here, check out some of our other posts that are related to this freebie you just got. And it's just, it's really cool. I really like it. I will say I really need to go back and edit it. It's been a while, but it's just a cool platform.
It really is.
Okay. We've talked about some marketing strategies. We've talked about DMs Guild publications. What else are you working on with Lightheart?
Well, I just finished up, speaking of DMs Guild, finished up a new map pack publication based on the Icewind Dale Rime of the Frost Maiden adventure book that just came out last year. I was inspired by a tweet online. Someone was like, I really need maps of this last chapter. So spoiler warning for any people who are still working through it. So don't listen, but you could listen still. It's fine. But basically, they needed maps for the Necropolis of Ythrin. That's like in chapter 7. And the book does a pretty good job of mapping out very specific locations, but it only has, I would say, maybe like 3 maps for 25-ish areas. And a lot of these places have very intricate, you know, details or, you know, like, oh, it's this particular room, 30 by 30 feet filled with, debris and a collapsed statue. And there's places where, you know, there'll be monsters or encounters. And I just thought, you know what? Yeah, this really does need its own map pack. And so I rocked out 18 maps over the course of like 2 weeks and got that out on DMs Guild, I want to say about a week or so ago. And so that's what I was working on. But I've got some, as far as stuff I'm planning on doing, first off, I'm going to go back and redraw the maps that I've done previously for DM's Guild. So the Siege of St. Isold, the Elven Lair or Elven Ruins, the Hag Lair, all those maps, I'm going to go ahead and redraw those and get those updated. Not only that, but I'm going to be including separate digital files because I realized that not everyone has the skill set to rip a map off of a PDF and put it onto whatever they're using. So it's limited usability, which that was something else I learned since publishing those maps. So that's going to be coming out here hopefully soon. And the other thing I can talk about is that I will be doing a map pack for the next D&D adventure book, The Candlekeep Mysteries. That one was announced a few weeks ago, and that one's going to be, like they said, 17 adventures, and I hope to pick that one up day one and devour it within as quickly as possible and try and get a quick turnaround and get some maps out for any places that need it.
You know, I actually want to follow up on something that you talked about earlier, and then we've kind of just seen a trend. When you first did your publications, it took from concept of, oh, this is a thing I could do, to actually publishing, it was about 9 months. And now these days, you are knocking out a side quest once a month. You know, you just did the Icewind Dale map pack companion. You made all those maps within, I don't know, I think 2, maybe 3 weeks?
About 3 weeks from start to finish, yeah. I think. A little bit longer to do, get it all edited together and ready for publication. But yeah, about a month-ish.
Okay, so a month for 18 maps versus, you know, your side quest, which is you're writing an adventure and you're drawing a handful of maps for that. Again, you're getting that done really in about 1 to 2 weeks, depending on when you start, just so that you can keep to that monthly timeline. Mm-hmm. So what has changed from when you first started and it took you, you know, 9 months to get all of those ready to go and actually published to writing an entire one shot in a week?
It really boils down to my comfort levels with writing and drawing. And when I was doing Siege of St. Isolde, it was, I would be working on it occasionally, but I was determined to make sure people play through, but I just never felt that it was good enough for release. And so that's part of why it took so long. Same with the maps. It was just like exacting detail, and I just like, it has to be perfect. But then once we started the website and I started blogging, and the whole premise of me doing the website was like, okay, this will be an area where I can release my side quests, which are, you know, the little short one-shot adventures. And I realized like, oh, I don't have the luxury of time when these things are coming out every week. And so it really forced me to step out of my comfort zone for writing and drawing to get something out and be happy with it and just be like, all right, be free, little bird, be free for the internet. And so I think the most recent side quest I did was the Baffling Basement of Bertie Bigglesby, which I love alliteration, by the way. That one, I think from conception to completion, that was about a week and a half, both for the map and for the writing. And so that was roughly around like 2,500 words and about a 4x4-inch map. So a lot of time going into both, but it was just one of those, all right, got to knock this out for the blog.
Yeah, so it's really just having more practice, having more experience, and giving yourself deadlines, would you say?
Yeah, having a nebulous, like, oh, I'll release it someday, it doesn't help anybody. By setting deadlines, whether self-imposed or from significant other, it really helps out with lighting a fire under your butt and making sure that, okay, this thing that I've said I'm going to do will get done. And so having a weekly blog post, it usually takes me about a week or so to write about, sometimes even less. I'll write the majority of a post in like a Friday or Saturday afternoon, and it's ready to go the next week.
Yeah, that's definitely something I've tried to challenge you on as well, is to spend, I think what I said, it was no more than 8 hours on a blog post per week, mm-hmm. 12 hours if it's a side quest. I'd say we're still working on that goal.
Still working on it, because I realized looking back that some of my earlier side quests could be full-on one-shots on their own. And it was recently that I just kind of set myself down and like, you know, I need to pare this stuff back, because they were pushing close to like 4,000 to 5,000 words, and that is a legitimate adventure for some stuff that's released on DM's Guild. And I was putting it out for free, which is great, because I want people to try and enjoy my stuff. But it was one of those like, okay, this is taking me way too long to put this stuff out. So moving forward, the plan is side quests are definitely going to be much quicker affairs, both to develop as well as to play.
Yeah, they'll go back kind of to their original intent, which is not to necessarily be a full one shot, but hey, your adventurers are walking down the street and they hear a noise. Do they go after it? Great. Do they ignore it and they decide to go in the other direction? Well, what's in the other direction? Here's the thing.
they find the Treant bathroom.
Why do I get the feeling it's going to be a no side quest? So what would you say has been the most challenging part of running Lightheart?
Probably the most challenging thing has been the social media interacting for me, as it's still something I'm working on. I'm like trying to reach out to people, talk about myself and things like that. Doing SEO stuff, that's a little bit of a learning curve too. But I would say neither are insurmountable issues for me. It's tough. It's something that I'm going to have to keep working at, but I think it's worth working on.
What about good stuff? What's been the most rewarding?
I love seeing people or hearing when people play my maps or play my encounters and just be like, oh yeah, no, they really like this part. Or, oh yeah, no, that little pitfall that you got there at the end. Yeah, no, they fell for that. Literally.
Well, I think we already talked about upcoming projects that you're working on, but was there anything else that you wanted to say about some stuff that's coming up?
Nope, it's a secret. And by secret, I mean I'm still working on stuff.
Fair enough. All right, well, thank you, Brenton, for joining. This was kind of fun. It was nice to be able to talk a little bit more about what we're doing.
Well, thank you for having me on. You know, but one person in your swath of illustrious guests.
Swath of illustrious guests. I like it. All right, babe, where can people find you?
Well, first and foremost, I'm primarily on Instagram, Lightheart Adventures, Twitter, Lightheart ADV, Facebook, Lightheart Adventures. And for all other inquiries, you can check us out at lightheartadventures.com, and there's a contact page in there somewhere.
Somewhere.
You can say hi.
Yeah. We've also got a Discord, so folks can come and hang out and talk about anything that we've published, what stuff they're working on, any of the podcast episodes. I realize I haven't actually talked about the Discord on this podcast yet. So, hey, we've got a Discord.
Yeah, we've got a Discord. It's pretty hopping. Courtney, pick one.
I did.
Takenoko. We'll tell people. Tell them. Takenoko or Don't Let It Die. Which board game do you pick and which one do you throw away forever?
Hey, that was not part of the deal. We are not throwing
which
them away.
Which one?
If I have to choose between two of my favorite board games, then I do pick Don't Let It Die.
It is a pretty good
but
one.
But I love Takenoko. Those pandas are adorable. But Don't Let It Die, just whatever, random plug for one of my friends. Yeah, it's a wonderful board game if you haven't heard of it. It's pretty new. I want to say he released it at the beginning of 2020, but also that was 10 million years ago, so who even knows at this point?
No, I think it's been out a little bit before that.
I think it was after BlizzCon 2019. But anyways, it's a wonderful co-op game where you are a bunch of Neanderthals who have just discovered fire, and you're trying to learn its secrets and save the fire. And basically, if the fire goes out before you've learned everything you can, slash, you know, how to get more fire, then your race fails and you will never evolve and you will all die. So that's fun.
Yes, it's cooperative too, which is pretty fun.
It's really hard. Even easy mode is really hard, and it takes like so much collaboration, but it's a lot of fun.
And there's extra challenges you can throw on top of it too, to like, oh, you thought that was hard mode was easy, which it's not. You can do this extra stuff too. I'm like, okay, hurt me more.
Yeah, my friend Dustin released that, and you know what? I will include a link to where you can find that board game in the show notes, because that's what they're for.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyways, gonna wrap this up. So thanks, hon, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
This was a lot of fun. That's it for today's episode of Role Play Grow. To check out the show notes, you can go to lightheartadventures.com/RPG. To keep up with every episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave me a review. Reviews are one of the best ways to help a newer podcast get up off the ground. To follow me on Twitter, you can either find me at LightheartADV for our business account, or at KetraWCR to see me tweet about other things like my dog and World of Warcraft. You can also find us as Lightheart Adventures on both Instagram and Patreon. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week on Role Play Grow.